Now, as we emerge from lockdown, many New Zealanders will be wondering how the bus system will cope on Monday when schools reopen. Will there be enough room on the bus for physical distancing? Will we get to work late on our first day back in the office? Joining us on the line from Wellington is Dave Armstrong. He's a columnist for the Dominion Post, and he's also a bus spotter from way back. Hi, Dave.
Kia ora, Jesse. I don't know if bus spotter is fair, but yes, I am.
Well, I've said it now, so it's going to stick. Yeah. Hey, what is Monday morning going to look like in the capital?
Well, look, I think the thing this time round is no one knows. And what's great is the local politicians, rather than being in denial and saying, oh, we've all got it in hand, they're actually saying, look, we don't know for sure. We've taken the best advice, and we think there's going to be less than 50% people going to work, but we're going to sort of have to suck it and see. And I think that's given the times we're in, I think that's a good approach.
Remind people what Wellington rush hour looks like on the bus on a good day.
Oh, well, like, you know, a year ago, let's say, or maybe August last year when we changed our bus system, even though we didn't need to, and when we got rid of our trolley buses, even though there was a lot of compelling evidence that we should keep them, it was disastrous. You had people queuing, you had people close together at bus queues waiting, places like Glenmore Street. You had people waiting and watching three or four buses going by. You had connections, you know, you had a bus turning up at a connection just as the people get off, the connecting bus leaves. You did have a disaster, you know, so it was not good. But, of course, now the demand's much less. I have been bus spotting, actually. I've been sitting at home watching buses go past for the last 6 or 7 weeks with no one in them or one person in them. Today there was great excitement from me, my wife and our dog because there were 10 people in a bus. But that's a double-decker bus. That's not packed. So if what the regional council is saying is that there's less than 50% of people going back to work, and the buses are about, I think, 40, 50% capacity now. They've got social distancing. They've got, you know, they've got where you can sit, where you can't sit. It might be okay, but there's a lot of unknowns.
What are the rules going to be with buses, will they be realistic?
Well, again, to be fair, the regional council have taken the best advice they can. They've talked to the Ministry of Health in terms of school buses, the Ministry of Education, and also the Ministry of Transport. Okay, so when you're queuing at the bus stop, you'll have stenciled places to stand. So it'll be like some, you know, supermarkets and things like that, so you can't get too close. On the buses, I believe there'll be taped off seats, but I'm not absolutely sure on the details. But you'll be a metre away from the closest person. What you won't have at rush hour is that, you know, jam-packed in the buses. You're not allowed that. The council are hoping people, as they have done for the last 7 weeks, exercise a bit of social responsibility themselves so that it's not a case of policing everyone. And the bus drivers won't be totally involved. You know, they don't want the drivers just to be spending their whole time saying, you can't get on, you can't get on.
Yeah.
But on busy routes, you'll probably have to expect that you know, you might miss a bus. The other thing is that there are going to be some, I think they're called something like Metlink ambassadors, guys in high-vis vests and stuff, helping at busy bus stops. So, you know, like I say, because we don't know how many people are actually going to return to work, and we also don't know if people are going to go, normally I take the bus, but I'm so freaked out by COVID-19, I'm going to cycle or I'm going to walk or I'm going to take the car. So that's another issue in Wellington, is that, you know, you can allow people to travel by bus, but it doesn't mean they're going to actually try. I'll also add, buses are free, thanks to our government, to Uncle Grant. our buses are free until June the 30th.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Hey, Metlink ambassador. Metlink ambassador, that might be a good job for you in your retirement, Dave.
That's right.
You could tell people all about the buses as they approach.
I don't know if I'd get that second interview somehow, Jesse. I'm just not sure.
Hey, you mentioned cycling.
Yep.
Are you expecting to see more cyclists out?
Well, according to various people, that there's already an increase, already a great increase in cycling. So that what's becoming an issue is speed limits and cycle lanes. And so there's going to be a debate very soon, I think, in the council on a citywide 30-kilometre-an-hour speed limit. A lot of people say, look, you have effectively that anyway because it's a city. But there are areas, my street being one of them, but also places like the southern coast, where cars go really fast, and it's not good for citizens, pedestrians who are walking, who are trying to exercise social distancing. So I had that situation taking a dog for a walk during lockdown, that you see someone coming the other way and you think, oh, well, I should keep 2 metres away, and it's a narrow street. Wellington has, unlike Auckland, Wellington has so many narrow streets. You go, well, I'll go to the road. That's okay. There's no cars mm-hmm. around. Now, that's fine in lockdown, but when you've got cars going 50 kilometres an hour, that's quite an issue. The other thing is we don't have a lot of cycle lanes. We have a policy to bring them in. So people are saying, why not, why not bring in cycle lanes quicker? Why not have temporary cycle lanes? There's even talk about making Courtenay Place, which is the hub of our hospitality industry, pedestrian only. And I think that's a great idea, given that we want people back in bars and we want people in restaurants. Of course, the problem you've got then is you don't want people too close together. So, to be fair to our transport agencies, compared to, say, over a year ago, they've got multiple things to worry about. They're really dealing with a crisis and a problem. So, you know, that's different for Wellington. Normally, we make problems in Wellington that we don't have. We see a system like our bus system and we go, it's working great, let's fix it. Whereas now, there actually are real problems. So it'll be interesting to see.
You talk about cycleways. I reckon Island Bay would be a great place for a cycleway. Would you maybe suggest that to someone? Just put it in. People will get used to it.
Have you got 10 million plus to spare? The thing about cycleways is that, you know, there's a little bit of... There are some new cycleways being built in Wellington, but the real problem... And Island Bay gets a lot of, you know, there are good things and bad things about Island Bay. A lot of people complain, but it is also, I've ridden it, it's a cycleway. You know, it's better than being exposed to the traffic if you're a cyclist. But the thing about cycleways is it's easy doing cycleways where there's not a lot of, where there's a lot of space, or where there's not a lot of traffic. But the real crunch time is when you get cycleways in places where, you know, road users want the road. And so if you're going to lose parks for a cycleway, that's when you get the sort of opposition. Actually, in Island Bay, very few parks were lost. But if you start putting cycleways into the Basin Reserve in Wellington, you are going to get less parking, and you're going to get some motorists who are going to get angry. But you can also argue, but there's so many cyclists, there's electric scooters now. You know, there's a real need for more cycleways. So that's a debate Wellington's got to have. And it won't always be pretty. There are a few Pollyannas out there that say, "Oh, we can all share the road. We can all share." But it doesn't always work like that. And motorists get incredibly mad if they see that they're going to lose their two lanes or something because of cycles. But you know, cycling is in a post COVID world with climate change as well being an issue. Then, you know, a place like Wellington would really do well if it had far better cycling facilities.
If you were working a 9-to-5 in the city, Dave, and you lived in, say, Island Bay, what would you be doing on Monday? Would you be trying to stagger your arrival?
Yeah, I'm a cyclist myself, and so for me it's a no-brainer to go from Island Bay or Newtown, where I live, into, or even Miramar, as one of my siblings that does. It's a no-brainer to go on the bike. It's quicker. It's quicker than a car. It's quicker than a bus. And so biking is fantastic. Of course, there are people that don't have, you know, they can't cycle. They've got kids to take in the car and stuff like that. So, but if you're by yourself and you're the only person and you're below 80, then cycling is a fantastic option. I'd be wary about getting the bus at rush hour on Monday, but if it looked like it was okay, then the bus is a good option. Of course, when it rains in Wellington, everyone jumps on the bus, and fair weather cyclists like me don't cycle. We take our cars and stuff like that. So I think the whole issue, though, you've touched on here, is does everyone who has a 9-to-5 job have to be in their office from 9 to 5? Could they Zoom and do work at home from 7:30 to 9:30 and then hop on a bus at 10. And these sort of questions are now being talked about and answered far more than they used to be. And I've talked to a lot of people. I talked to an employer the other day, and I said, why don't you get, you know, can you get your staff in for like 4 hours a day or 3 days a week? And he was really interesting. He said, I'd love to do that. I'd love to say to them, you don't have to be in the office all the time. And he said half of them wanted to totally work from home and never come into the office. So the other half never wanted to work at home and come into the office. So there's a few attitudinal changes, but I can't see why we can't stagger the way we work, and we don't necessarily have to work that 9 to 5. You know, if we could eliminate the need for rush hours, our transport system would really be easier to use.
I was just going to say, you know, it's all very well for people who work jobs, but the one group that we haven't talked about much yet is school kids. They'll all be jumping on the bus on Monday as well, and they won't have any choice about staggering their first period.
No, that's true. And there are, and the other thing, this has become quite an issue, is that the buses, the school buses do not have social distancing. So, you know, they'll be jammed in like sardines, I'm afraid. Now, the transport authorities have taken best advice from Ministry of Health and Ministry of Transport and Ministry of Education. They're going to keep a record of all kids on school bus. They're going to get the schools to do that. And so there is also very little risk of infection, you know, with kids. But some parents are absolutely outraged, and they're going, why aren't kids social distancing? And I noticed a unionist in Dunedin, I think it was, said, hey, there's lots of drivers out there. Why not put on more school buses rather than herding them all in for financial reasons? To be fair, yet again, the Wellington Regional Council have responded and said, look, we're interested in this. We'll look at this further. They're not just shutting it down and saying, sorry, we can't afford it. They are sort of looking, but at the moment, like on Monday, people getting the bus, kids getting the bus to school, will be, you know, close together. And that's a decision that's been made, you know, by the Ministry of Education. So you could argue whether that's a danger to health or not. I see it as quite low risk, but it's higher risk than if you had social distancing. The real problem is where kids get a bus to school, but they don't have a school bus provided, you know, where there's no school bus, and so they get a public bus, and that could mean that commuters can't get onto a bus because there's a kid in front of them. Now, that might cause problems too.
Hey, thanks for your analysis. Dave, just a quick one. Someone asks, are buses free everywhere or just in Wellington? Do you know the answer to that?
I don't know the absolute answer to that. I suspect I know that buses and trains are free in Wellington until June the 30th. If the level of COVID, the COVID level goes down to one, it may not stay free. But as far as I'm aware, in Wellington, it's free until June the 30th. But that could change. But it's not up to the regional authorities. It's up to the local. It's up to the local authorities. Sorry, it's not up to the regional authority. It's up to the government to decide. So they're actually paying for our public transport at the moment. But no, look, I'm not sure about. I'm pretty sure okay. It's special, but I don't know.
That's all right. I've got a story here anyway. I'll have a look at it in a moment. Thanks very much. Cheers, Dave.
Thanks, Jesse. Bye.
Just in case you are interested in the answer to that, well, I've got a story. The first one I found is on Stuff, and it says confusion over free public transport at level 2. Despite initial confusion, Greater Wellington Regional Council has confirmed fares will remain free for all trains and buses in Wellington until the end of June. That's what Dave Armstrong was talking about. They then go on to talk about New Zealand. a spokesperson says, each regional council and authority will make their decisions independently, meaning fares could be reintroduced to some areas far earlier than others. Auckland Transport meeting with the Ministry of Transport to discuss when fares would be reintroduced. Okay, you might have to look it up in your own area to find out what's going on.